One major classification were perioiki, a word that means dwellers around. This is found in many other Greek city-states. These were free populations living in communities that lived under their own laws. They were not Spartan citizens, but owed military service to Sparta and were summoned out and drilled and led by Spartan officers in battle, and in time were brigaded with Spartan citizens. How many of them they are is difficult to tell. We don't have statistics, but I believe they were significantly more numerous than many scholars would admit. The other populations, and there must have been a number of dependent populations, but a population we hear a great deal about are Helots. Contrary to most modern accounts, these were not state slaves. They were not distributed by the Spartan state. There have been efforts to turn Sparta into some kind of authoritarian socialist regime. There is absolutely no evidence for this in the sources. Helots refer to enslaved populations who were the private property of Spartans. It included a number of people in Messenia, and people could be demoted to Helot status for rebelling. Yet there's also instances of perioiki who were apparently promoted to Spartan citizenship for reward of loyalty, of Helots who were freed if they fought in wars. They probably became perioiki. And contrary to what is often read, the image that there's a small Spartan citizen body of 5% of the population on top of a huge dependent class, the classic exploiting model that you would want in a Marxist analysis, probably the figures were more on the order of the Spartan citizens and the perioiki, that is the free population, were about half. The other half were different types of dependent and slave populations, and that the breakdown of percentages, you may have had 10,000 Spartans, maybe 15,000 perioiki, maybe 25,000 Helots of adult age, or you can double the figures, but it's probably a 50-50 split between free and slave, free and dependent, not unlike what you would have in states of the Upper South in 1850. I think a state like Tennessee would probably be a pretty good model. Otherwise, how do they keep this dependent population under control? It's impossible to do so. The Spartans, therefore, had solved demographic pressures, which had caused most Greek city-states to colonize overseas, by conquering and incorporating the various areas around Sparta as allies, dependents, and perioiki. And then starting in 580 BC, they began to bring more distant states into alliance. I always think that the model for Sparta is not some kind of Marxist model, but early Rome. Rome had a classification of citizens, Latin status, Italian allies. In the case of the Spartans, you would think of the Spartans, the perioiki, the various allies of the Peloponnesian League, with the Spartans providing the leadership and the officer corps to direct and lead what were, in effect, elaborate coalition armies. And if you look at Sparta in this way, then all of a sudden it makes clear why the Spartans are chosen to head up the alliance against the Persian invasion, why the Spartans can field such a huge army, and why they can adapt this system of coalition command to fight a naval war in the Peloponnesian War, and why Spartans are treasured as officers down to the 3rd century BC, where Spartans are often brought in to turn various armies, including Carthage in 256, 255 BC, into effective soldiers. The Spartans have this tradition of training, leading coalition armies, and it isn't just a case of a small landowning class exploiting a huge dependent population. With a view like this, then the Spartan training program, the agogae, as it's sometimes called, the mess halls, the syssition, where the Spartans moved, came together and participated in religious and eating clubs, all of this falls much more in place as a way of drilling the citizens to a certain level of athletic and military excellence, where they would be able to lead and command allies and perioiki, where the values of the polis were inculcated, where the traditions of the laws, going back to Lycurgus, that legendary figure, were also revered, studied, and understood. Spartans were literate. They tended to be laconic in speech. That is, they were austere in their words. That doesn't mean they were stupid. And it's a long way to jump from the kind of austere and modest Spartan lifestyle to the fact that the Spartans were a bunch of dumb local provincials. And in the next lecture, when we look at the economic ties between Sparta and the various members of the Peloponnesian League, that is a mirage. That is a myth that was being created in antiquity and has influenced a great deal of modern opinions. In many ways, society in Sparta was a version of what we call the early archaic, that is the early Greek society of the 7th and 6th century BC, when they come out of their dark age, and the Spartans remain wedded to more traditional values.